bolivariana. ¡Viva! ¡Viva el pueblo venezolano!
¡Viva! This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening. Today, an exploration of power in its many dimensions. The power of a leader who holds all the cards in his country, and what happens when that center of power is suddenly gone. That begins the hour. We'll also have a look at the way power is portrayed in Washington, D.C., a place that seems so stymied and powerless these days. Getting things done makes for great entertainment, it turns out. And the very real power that comes from the education of young girls around the world. We'll speak to the folks behind the new film Girl Rising, part of the 10x10 movement to address poverty by getting young girls into schools. And finally, the power of a gun. What intangible quality do guns give to the people in America who love them? But we begin with a power vacuum in the nation of Venezuela today.
I am ready with today's victory. We start the third historical cycle of the Bolivarian Revolution from 2009 to 2019.
Hugo Chavez speaking there in 2009, a moment of victory. He never made it to his promised third historical cycle of the Bolivarian Revolution, something he dreamed for Venezuela and for Latin America. Chavez died of cancer yesterday. The vice president announced Chavez's passing after a long decline that has left Venezuela on hold for months. Condolences have come in from around the world. Chavez, with his style and his oil wealth, cultivated relationships with world leaders. China's President Hu Jintao and Bolivia's president were among the world leaders reacting today. The people of Venezuela could be heard in an outpouring of emotion on state media. Mourning ceremonies have been conducted in expatriate communities around the world as well. We'll explore those in a moment. Whatever his style, Chavez made many friends by openly confronting the United States and the economic interests that control the oil industry, an industry of which he was a part. Will another such figure step forward? We're joined now by Phil Gunson, who's a freelance journalist who writes for The Economist based in Caracas. Phil, welcome.
Thank you.
Is there someone who could step forward? There is a 30-day process of naming a new leader in Venezuela, but I'm wondering if that's a preliminary event at this point.
Well, it's fairly clear in broad terms what's going to happen. We're going to have a presidential election that's provided for under the Constitution. Mr. Chavez, as his more or less his dying wish, anointed his vice president, Nicolas Maduro, as the candidate for the revolution. And on the other side, it's almost certain that Enrique Capriles, who's the governor of a large state called Miranda, who lost to Mr. Chavez last year in the October presidential elections, will stand against him. So that looks like the way forward in the formal sense.
So would the theme of this election then be continuing on the revolution as Chavez saw it, and perhaps as the vice president can articulate it, or the alternative being some sort of reform movement, as we heard in the last election?
Well, I think there is a very definite sense here of two absolutely incompatible systems slugging it out, if you like. As you say, the opposition, which broadly speaking represents a return to liberal democracy and a free market economy, lost last year, not too badly. They won about 44% of the vote. The key question, I think, is whether, assuming that Mr. Maduro wins, and I think most political analysts think he probably will, not so much because of his own qualities, but because he benefits from a kind of wave of Chavista fervor in the aftermath of the president's death. Assuming that he does win, what will happen in the longer term? Will it be possible to maintain this radical path, or will the economy force a more pragmatic kind of policy?
Does that mean to say that Mr. Maduro will not have the political levers that Hugo Chavez did to control state industries, to sell off assets, to acquire land, the kinds of controversial policies that in many ways created these narratives within politics in Venezuela?
Well, once he's elected, certainly he will have all those levers of power, formally speaking, at his disposal. The problem, of course, is that he's not Hugo Chavez. And the story of the Chavez era has been the story of, if you like, the deinstitutionalization of Venezuela. Mr. Chavez concentrated all power in his own hands, and the country's institutions are in a very weak state when it comes to taking over and restoring Venezuela to a more normal form of day-to-day operations. And within Chavismo, within the movement, the revolution, there are different factions, which Mr. Chavez himself was able to control by the force of his personality. now that he's not there, that movement will tend over time to fall apart, I think.
The individual agendas of what you call Chavismo as the fracturing revolution that Hugo Chavez created will have to reassemble into some sort of political power structure in his absence. Phil Gunson, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Phil Gunson is a Caracas-based journalist who writes for The Economist. Hugo Chavez of Venezuela was a popular figure in the United States during the most tense years of the George W. Bush presidency. Chavez offered subsidized heating oil for poor people in New England when temperatures dropped and prices spiked. Lawmaker Joseph Kennedy helped to deliver this fuel that everyone understood was a present from Uncle Hugo.
I'm Joe Kennedy. If you need help staying warm, call me at Citizens Energy at 1-877-JOE for oil. We'll get you some heating oil at 40% off from the good people of Venezuela and Citgo. No one should be left out in the cold.
And there is sadness today in Latin American expatriate communities in the USA, including South Florida, Miami's largest Venezuelan community of Doral, where celebrations went long into the night. That sound, courtesy of our affiliate WLRN in South Florida. They spoke with Rafael Rodriguez, who gathered with hundreds of others at this Venezuelan restaurant, El Arepazo Dos.
Nobody gets happy when somebody dies. But in this case, we're talking about a new era that's coming to Venezuela. Tough times, I believe. But a new time for democracy for Venezuela now.
Thoughts and voices there from the streets of South Florida. Joining us now from Miami is Elio Aponte, who's the founder of the Organization of Venezuelan Exiles. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, John.
Elio, what do you think this new time for democracy in Venezuela means from the perspective of people on the streets there in South Florida?
Yeah, some people are believing that if Chavez is dead, now there is a new opportunity. That's what most people believe. We in the Organization of Venezuelans in Exile are very concerned about the reality of Venezuela because it is right now controlled by Cuba and the brothers, Castro brothers. So it is not as easy as some people believe.
So it's premature for you to be making plans to go back to Venezuela at any point?
Yeah, it's very premature, really, because the electoral system in Venezuela is controlled by the regime. Chavez was only as a puppet of the Castro. Right now is Nicolas Maduro, the vice president. They are going to use elections only to legitimize a new dictator. That's our concern. So we demand new electoral system, a clean electoral system. That's what the students are also demanding in Venezuela.
Speaking to us from Miami, Elio Aponte is founder of the Organization of Venezuelan Exiles. Watching it all, thanks so much.
You are welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
Joining us now is Hannah Strange, former Latin American correspondent for the London Times, who still covers the region. Hannah, is there a Chavez revolution that continues after his death, or does much of this Chavezmo die with him?
Well, now we are seeing what is called Chavismo without Chavez, which is essentially an attempt to, yes, continue his legacy. There has really been a concerted effort on the part of his government and his movement to really create a movement that continues without him. The slogan everybody is saying is, we are all Chavez, that Chavez is not a man, he's an idea, he is the country. So, you know, we really are seeing a push to move it on without him, which for a long time people thought might not happen. There was a real cult of personality surrounding him. The power was very much concentrated in his hands, and he hadn't made an awful lot of effort until recently to cultivate a successor. He very much liked to be the center of everything. So now we are seeing an effort to try and change that so that his legacy does not die with him and that it does continue on without him.
Is there certainly there's a yearning in Venezuela for someone like Chavez, regardless of his controversy. But I'm wondering if there's a yearning within Latin America for some leader to openly confront the United States, to play the role that Chavez did. Or is it better from the perspective of the emerging nations in Latin America that this figure is gone?
I think it very much depends who you ask. I think the leftist countries, Ecuador, Bolivia, Argentina, Nicaragua, Cuba, obviously, very much do want to see somebody like Chavez. He was a, you know, real linchpin in that movement, what was called the pink tide of Latin America. He was very supportive in terms of subsidies as well, finances coming from the oil, cheap oil, going to those countries, which were, you know, he was very much sustaining in many ways, particularly the Cuban government was economically supported by Chavez. So, and yes, I think also ideologically, those countries do like to see someone standing up to the United States. He was very, very good at that. He obviously did not mince his words at all and was not frightened of saying so sometimes very controversial statements. On the other hand, I think other countries in Latin America that are perhaps closer to the United States, Colombia, Chile, Brazil, will not be too sad to see perhaps a more moderate leader take his place.
We've seen statements from President Obama talking about solidarity with the people of Venezuela, sort of carefully sidestepping the issue of Chavez's confrontation of Washington. I'm wondering if this also points up, and you've alluded to it there, the sadness that must be the case in Havana. The oil wealth of Venezuela very much sustained the government of Cuba. It was not expected necessarily that Fidel would survive Hugo Chavez. But look, once again, it's Fidel in Cuba embodying the revolution of the 20th century revolutionary movements.
Mm-hmm. Well, indeed, now the mantle of the left in Latin America does fall back to Cuba. They now, again, once again, are ideologically the forerunners of the leftist movement in Latin America, which perhaps they had become less so in recent times. Certainly, Fidel Castro and Raúl Castro will personally be very sad. He did have a very close relationship with them. There was a reference to him from Castro today being like a beloved son. He was his mentor, close friend, and definitely there will be sadness, and amongst the Cuban people as well, who certainly saw him as being someone who defended them, which is something that is, you know, in short supply. I think when you're on the island of Cuba, certainly feel that there's not very many people on your side, so there will definitely be a sadness there as well.
Sadness and many questions to be asked now as the region moves forward and the hemisphere moves forward, for that matter. Hannah Strange, former Latin American correspondent for the London Times. Hannah, thanks so much.
Thank you.